Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast, the podcast on the Believe Podcast Network and 365 Sports YouTube channel that covers everything SEC football related. I am co-host Blaine Gilmer with my co-host here, Tavarius King. Great week of SEC football, and this is Reaction Monday, TK.
Yeah. This Reaction Monday. Excited to be here once again here on Second to None with my dog. And definitely another happy Monday because the dog's got a big victory. And you put a lot of points on the board, my guy. So excited to talk about that a little bit, as well as some marquee games in the conference we'll hit on. But, yeah, man, it was a really good, interesting week, too. Learned a lot about a couple football teams.
Yeah, and TK, what we're learning is, man, it's a gamble at the quarterback position in the SEC right now. And, you know, speaking of gambling, I mean, people just throwing people out there hoping for the best. Speaking of gambling and betting on some of these games, we give our spread picks on against the spread on Wednesdays. We give our lock-in picks on Fridays. But TK, when you're talking about betting, you got to go with Bet Online because it's that time of the year again, and all eyes are on the gridiron, guys, and teams are back at it, back playing between the white lines. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all your updated odds, props, and contests, including the biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest. The world's largest $200,000 survivor contest open now at Bet Online. Guys, head over to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 100% welcome bonus. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, TK, you know, we always appreciate Bet Online, but, you know, a lot of people, I think UAB in particular, and we'll get that Georgia game out of the way right off the bat because there wasn't a whole lot to talk about other than the fact that they just blew up offensively. But UAB was betting on being able to put eight men in the box and stop the run. And Kirby Smart said after the game, he said they did contain the run, but he said it was expensive for him. It was expensive for him to do so. And first play right off the bat, you know, first pass, Jermaine Burton. 78 yards to the house, followed up by, you know, Kenny McIntosh with a nice reception, kind of cutting across on a check down in the end zone. Got Arian Smith, you got Brock Bowers twice, just a real offensive explosion. Talk about Stetson Bennett and really how remarkable it is that he's able to continue just to step up when called upon by Georgia.
Well, yeah, I mean, you obviously have to talk about Stetson and just the job he does, not getting reps, not getting the type of reps obviously the other guys are getting. The fact that he can go out there and get the job done says a lot about who he is, and the fact that he got the nod over Carson Beck with JT being out here said believe in him, and the fact that they played the way they did says a lot about how he can carry the team and get a team rallied around him. So I think that Kirby giving him the nod was huge. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, I think I said it was going to be an explosive day for the wideouts, bro. When you stack the box and you put seven and they put eight in the box, it becomes an expensive day. And I said it was going to be an explosive day, and it was. People were wondering where our offense was in week one. Well, it's here. And when you have games like that, it builds confidence, bro. It builds confidence for those young guys. I bet those guys are feeling really good about their performance, feeling really good about what they did, and that's going to carry over into next week. So hopefully, you know, we can continue to do those things offensively, and our defense is going to be what it is, my dude.
Yeah, the defense, once again, stifling, and people are going to think, oh, well, it's UAB. Just watch UAB the rest of the year. That's a well-coached football team, and they're going to probably win the Conference USA again. It's going to be, Tyler Johnson's a fifth-year quarterback over there at UAB, but Georgia's defense is just stifling. You're right, Stetson Bennett just has that swag about him, man. He carries himself like a QB1. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, play over JT Daniels or anything like that, but it's just a real luxury for Georgia to have to be able to call upon somebody that they know can get it done when need to. TK, They have South Carolina and Vanderbilt coming up, and South Carolina is the next team we're going to talk about in their performance against East Carolina. But, you know, with those games coming up, two games that Georgia has a massive talent advantage and should be able to really just go out and kind of have their way with things again, even though those are two SEC programs, we kind of think Vandy's an SEC program. That's debatable. We've kicked them out of the league, so they're on probation in terms of on the Second and None podcast. But is it of your opinion that, you know, if JT's got that oblique, I mean, do you think the coaching staff will even entertain, hey, maybe we just sit him these next 2 weeks just to let that thing heal up by the time Auburn comes and let Stetson go out and handle business? Or what do you think if JT's, you know, getting close to, if he's 90%, you know, over maybe being 75% this week or something, do you think they give him the nod and let him go?
Well, I believe the beautiful thing is that we have depth at the quarterback position. But I do think if he's available to go, then they're gonna let him go. But again, Stetson, Carson, they've proven, especially Stetson, has proven that he can get the job done, and he can rally the team will rally around him. Hell, he'll rally the team to play and be ready. So, I mean, I feel good about anybody that takes the reins under Todd Monken and Coach Smart.
And like I said, the next team that we're going to talk about in our Reaction Monday here on the Second and None podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, is South Carolina. They defeated, and we said they would defeat East Carolina going in. They defeated them by a slim margin, 20-17. You know, Shane Beamer got a little dose of reality, I think, after playing Eastern Illinois. That program, they just lost so many guys. Will Muschamp leaving the program. When there's turnover, there's always transition, especially in the day of the transfer portal. So much so that with Luke Doty still out for injury, who knows if they'll bring him back. I wouldn't bring him back. If the dude's coming back from injury, I wouldn't bring him back against that Georgia defensive front. But Zeb Nolan, what kind of a great story, though, that could be for Zeb Nolan. You know, he's 2-0 and two starts for South Carolina after thinking his career was over. And now he's coming back to his home state, where he's probably, what, you know, less than 30 minutes away from where he played high school ball. So Zeb Nolan, again, you know, 13-24, 214, a touchdown, an interception to lead South Carolina over ECU. That's not a victory to sneeze at, though. We told everybody that ECU was going to kind of bring some competitiveness in that game. So, I mean, what's just your thoughts on South Carolina real quick, you know, behind Zeb Nolan being able to win that game on the road?
Yeah, that's not a cupcake game. They went in there and earned that game. I think Zeb Nolan is a somebody that's been game since a little kid, so he understands adversity. He understands going into a hostile environment. So I would 100% think that he would be the guy stepping into Stanford Stadium next weekend, especially with what you said. He's coming home. He's coming home. That'd give him an opportunity to come home and what better story would that be if they left Athens with a victory? Obviously, I'm hoping they don't. But, you know, what a great opportunity it would be for him to play between the hedges, to start between the hedges.
No doubt. And then real quick on Vanderbilt, I guess Vanderbilt, we're still not going to apologize to you because you lost to East Tennessee State. We said we were going to pick anybody over you for the rest of the year. I still, even though the Vanderbilt went on the road and beat Colorado State, which is not a Power Five program.
It's SEC play now.
Yeah, once we got to see if Vanderbilt can look respectable in SEC play before here on the Second and None podcast, we reinstate their membership to the league, because right now they're out for us. They're out of the league, so we're gonna keep Vanderbilt on the side. But great job by that. You gotta get tip your hat to Clark Lee and those guys over there, those players that could have just folded. I mean, they could have folded after losing to East Tennessee State, but to go on the road, regardless of what program they were facing, and Colorado State has its fair share of problems as well. But to go and be able to recoup and have some composure. I mean, that says a lot about Clark Lee and what the program's trying to build over there.
Yeah, 100%. All jokes aside, it does say a lot. When you have an embarrassing loss like you had week one, it says a lot about the coaching staff, getting those guys back in line. I know they were down on themselves, doubting themselves. It says a lot about them. It says a lot about the players. So honestly, hats off to them for going up there and getting that W. We ain't going to throw a party just yet, but we'll hit them with a golf clap.
No doubt. A golf clap for Vandy seems apropos. I mean, that's kind of like the golf crowd over there up in Vandy. You know, doctors and golfers up there at Vandy. No, but anyways, TK, now we're going to talk really, I think, was before we'll get to Tennessee and Pitt. We'll get to Kentucky and Missouri. We'll get to A&M and Colorado. But the game of the week that I thought was there was, we said it, you know, Texas and Arkansas, and I have to tip my cap to you. You said that Pig Suey was going to hold court at home and win. I said that Sark was going to get the best of Barry Odom, and boy, was I wrong. Barry Odom was on his game, holding Texas scoreless in the first half of play, and they go on to lay a just country beat down on Texas, 40-21. So, TK, you watched that game intently. You know, tell everybody kind of what you saw out of the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Well, I mean, you kind of hit on it. That defense came ready to. We talked about it. We talked about Jalen Catalan. We talked about Bumper Pool. You know, Bumper Pool was out in that first half, but when he came back into the game, bro, again, his energy. That energy was there the whole time, and I think we talked about it. Can they sustain? You know, having a guy like him on the sideline for two quarters. And dude, they were locked in, loaded, ready to go from the get-go. You said it, held them scoreless, no tuggies in the first half. And dude, that second half when Bumper Pool was out there, they looked even more locked in. So it was awesome to see. KJ Jefferson looked good. He looked dialed in. His intermediate accuracy was there. He was poised. He was ready to roll. He led the team the whole entire time, dude. It was cool to see. It was awesome for him to. I'm sure those fans loved it.
Yeah, I mean the stadium DWR was rocking out there. Got that momentum early, and that's something that they needed. You talked about where's the energy going to come from in our preview with Bumper Pool being out of that first half. Well, the DWR crowd kind of supplied that energy in it, and you know, guys like Jalen Catalan and people out there just kind of picking up the slack. A lot of designed runs for KJ Jefferson. I mean, his legs are a weapon. He's a big guy. He can run. He's strong. He's able to elude people. And, you know, I just want to point out that when Barry Odom and that defense there at Arkansas can hold a Steve Sark, I don't care if Steve Sarkisian is coaching a bunch of kids he pulled off the street. If you're able to hold a Steve Sarkisian designed offense to 256 total yards, TK, that's saying something, because that if there's one thing that Steve Sarkisian can do, he can scheme open 300 yards in his sleep. You know, being able to do absolutely that, and that's a dominant performance.
Absolutely, that's the most impressive thing is that those guys were locked in from the get go. Because to your point, Sark is probably one of the greatest offensive minds in our league right now. So to be able to hold them
not in the league yet. They getting invited in the league.
Well,
they're
taking Vandy's place. No,
yeah. Yeah. We're going to trade them for Vandy.
for real, Sark is an amazing football mind. So for them to, you know, kind of shut him and them down was very, very impressive.
And not just that, Bijan Robinson, yeah. they held him to 73 total yards. 73 yeah, total not, yards.
And we're not talking about a cat that's just a slappy. We're talking about, I think, probably one of the top two or three backs in the nation. One, two, or three. And it's debatable.
Yeah, I mean, Bijan Robinson is a just tremendous running back, both a, you know, versatile. He's able to tote the rock and, of course, catch it out of the backfield too, which he did in week one. So Arkansas fans have to be extremely excited about the result. And that game looming, you know, now, in my opinion, going through, we talk about Georgia's road, you know, to Atlanta. TK, that game where Arkansas comes to Athens in about three, four weeks from now, that's going to be a matchup of two really just physical, get after you, just assume spit in your face is anything else defenses when they meet there in between the hedges. And excited as those Arkansas fans have to be, we're also excited that our pod is partnering with PlayActionPools.com to bring some interactive fun for the sport that we love the most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our Play Action Pools Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. You can sign up for the contest Believe Football Pick'em at PlayActionPools.com and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest Believe. That's BLEAV football pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to PlayActionPools.com. They've got survivor pools, pick'em, as well as cool sports book style concept called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools. TK, we need to get in on that action. They got one for the Believe host. We need to get on that action as good as our picks were in week two, man. I mean, tell you, people got to listen. We got the picks for them, you know?
Yeah, we're pretty nice with it. So we might as well start. We might as well get in on that for real. The Believe host.
That's it. That's it. That's no doubt. So moving on from a great game in Texas and Arkansas, another game that had a lot of excitement in it as well was that Tennessee and Pitt game. Both you and I thought that Pitt would be able to go into Knoxville and take care of things for two reasons. We thought the defense for Pitt would prove to be the difference in the end, and we thought the culture of Pat Narduzzi being a veteran coach there, 7 years at Pitt versus the early on experience of Josh Heupel in Knoxville, really trying to get the rudder going in the right direction. It kind of came to fruition on Saturday, did it not?
Yeah, I believe we called this one too, and you know, unfortunately, Joe Milton goes down and things kind of start going south for the Tennessee Volunteers. But I think to me the key of the game was this. Every single time Tennessee, you know, Pitt was ahead, but every single time Tennessee started firing back or answering the bell, defensively Pitt was just there, dude. They were there. They were in throwing lanes, pass breakups, and then finally a pick. A crushing pick. So I mean, it was one of those games where Tennessee just couldn't quite get over the hump. But I think again, the key to the game, it's talked about it. Their coach is hard nosed, locked in, and they looked like they came to Knoxville to leave with a W, and they did just that.
No doubt. And when you talk about the Tennessee quarterback situation now, like you said, Joe Milton goes down. Hendon Hooker, a transfer from Virginia Tech, comes in. He was 15-21, so he's efficient.
He didn't look bad at all. I'm just telling you, when they were knocking on the door every time, bro, something would happen. So it was just unfortunate for him.
Yeah, being able to finish those drives. I believe when you were there at Georgia under Coach Rick, finish was the mantra. You know, finish the drill. Get it done. And Tennessee still looking to do that, gain that consistency in that program. But, you know, honestly, a lot closer game than I thought it would be. I thought Pitt would kind of go in and have their way with them. But ultimately, that defense, the leadership of Pat Narduzzi, and then Kenny Pickett. I think people don't realize that Kenny Pickett could quietly play himself into being a top draft pick in the NFL. I'm talking top one, two, three round type guy, because teams in the NFL are always looking, right? They're always looking for that next guy at quarterback. And you've seen plenty get drafted that aren't as skilled and talented as a Kenny Pickett. He's built a relationship with Peyton Manning, they said during the broadcast and things like that. So when you're seeking wise counsel like that, TK, it says a lot about you as a person and things like that. So Kenny Pickett, and Pitt go into Tennessee and get a victory there. I think Tennessee is going to have to be able to, you know, they ran the ball okay. But we said that if you know, when you talk about Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker, that's really who had all their runs. Hendon Hooker, 49 yards. Joe Milton, 54 yards. Jabari Small, only 18 yards on the ground. Small had over, he had 117 yards, I think, last game. Only 18 this game. So we said if Tennessee wasn't going to be able to run the football, we don't think their passing attack is there yet, and it wasn't. So Tennessee has to improve the passing game. Speaking of that, passing game issues, Texas A&M goes to Colorado. TK, this is not even a game that we put in our preview section on Friday because we thought that, you know, number five team in the country going to lowly Colorado Buffaloes who haven't been relevant in a while. We thought it would kind of, they would just go in there and boat race them. And Haynes King gets hurt in the, you know, only gets to throw two pass attempts on the day. He gets hurt in the first quarter with a lower right leg injury. Some people are speculating that it could be as bad as a broken ankle. Who knows what's going to end up being he was on crutches on the sideline for the rest of the game. And Zach Calzada, who's from Lanier High School over in Suwanee here in Georgia, saw him play in high school. He comes in, goes 18 for 38. When you're 18 for 38, that's I mean, they barely they survived on pure talent alone, being mm-hmm. able to be more talented than that Colorado team. Recruiting won them that game. Zach Calzada did have a touchdown pass, a clutch touchdown pass that ends up winning them the game. But TK, this is not you know, when you have Isaiah Spiller and when you have Arian Smith and you have Jalen Weidemeyer, all these weapons that we've talked about, and there's this inefficiency in Jimbo Fisher's offense. That's got to be a big concern for Texas A&M at this point.
Well, it's huge. I think we talked about it early on as well. The recruiting has to start showing. And I think one thing that we can pride ourselves on at Georgia is the recruiting and the depth. If you look, guys are going to get hurt. We've got Anthony Richardson's hurt. We've got Joe Milton's hurt. And then What's after that? So you got to start recruiting for depth, I think, and your recruits have to start, the talent has to start showing. But obviously that was a big blow, Haynes King going down, Calzada stepping in, getting it done, but 18 for 31 isn't going to get it done in our league. Like you said, they won this game because they were physically more talented and physically more gifted than those kids at Colorado.
And that gap, that talent level gap, even though A&M has, you know, built a nice roster, having top 10 recruiting classes for, you know, 3-4 years in a row here under Jimbo Fisher, that talent gap isn't going to
start
be,
producing.
Yeah, but that talent gap's not going to be as big when they start facing SEC teams, you know, because other SEC teams are recruiting similar as well. So they have to have better execution and can't survive on the talent alone. You know, a lot of you know, uncharacteristic things. Texas A&M, 8 for 20 on third downs, seven penalties on the day, lost a fumble. So, you know, a lot of things that Texas A&M has to get ironed out before they can even think of competing with Alabama. And who knows, you know, a lot of when you face in Alabama, a mobile quarterback has kind of been the Saban's Achilles heel over the years, right? And Haynes King was definitely the more mobile of the two between him and Zach Calzada. So who knows how long Haynes King will be out, but Texas A&M, they survive in advance. So, hey, 2-0 is 2-0, and they get to go back and go to the drawing board next week. TK, we talked about Kentucky, and both Kentucky is a team that both you and I really believe in. I think each of us are on the same boat thinking that they will at this point be the challenger to Georgia in the SEC East. They're the most complete team that we see, but the spread was 5.5. They win by 7. You and I thought they should get a couple more points on that. We thought it might even be a double-digit game. But when you have Kentucky, once again, you know, being able to put up over 500 yards of offense for 2 weeks in a row now, the trajectory of this Kentucky program is just, you know, totally different than what it was a year ago.
Well, yeah. I agree. And doing it against an opponent that's in our league is impressive. Super, super impressive. We just talked about it. It's hard to do. It's hard to do it's hard to do that in our league. And the recruiting is, you know, at the same level for the most part. So for those guys that go out, Will Levis.
He was only for 179 this game. They did it through the ground here is what ended up. Chris Rodriguez, 27 carries for 206 yards, 7.6 yards a carry, 3 tutties on the day for Chris Rodriguez, and finished it off.
27 carries. My man was doing work.
Yeah, Chris Rodriguez, in my opinion, the best back in the SEC, the most complete back. I really like Chris Rodriguez. He's like a little, you know, bowling ball, and he's got some explosion to him. Chris Rodriguez is a guy that is, you know, just explosive, electric for Kentucky. So, and I think what you have to like if you're Mark Stoops in Kentucky, TK, is the, you know, the first game they go out against UL Monroe and they show that explosivity through the air. They're able to, Will Levis is able to, you know, take that away. Of course, I'm sure Missouri saw that film and did some different things defensively to try to take away Josh Ali and Wandell Robinson, all that kind of stuff. And then lo and behold, when they change up the defense, Mark Stoops ain't too proud to keep handing that rock off to Chris Rodriguez. So what does that say about that that offense there at Kentucky and they're, you know, having different ways to win?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly what it says. It says that we can do this. We can beat you in more than one way. We can. How do you want it? I'm surgical with it, as Denzel says. How you want it, man? They can do it in multiple ways, bro. They can turn around and hand it to that guy, or we can give it to Wandell Robinson or Josh Ali Awad and kill you that way. I think that them having weapons again makes them the contender for the Dogs thus far going into week two. I'm gonna do that. You know what? I'm gonna do that every week too. I'm gonna pick who's gonna be the contender in the East for the Dogs.
No doubt. Still them. And yeah, it's still them. Kentucky right now is that preeminent. Kentucky is that preeminent team that is looking very impressive with Will Levis there. One of the few teams right now that seems to have everything settled at quarterback. Honestly, you know, you got like you mentioned, Anthony Richardson at Florida. They beat up on us on South Florida, but you know, Anthony Richardson pulls a hamstring in that game. Florida takes out South Florida 42-20 on the road, but. DK, I don't know, with Florida heading into, you know, or they're going to host Alabama next week. But even with Alabama coming to the swamp, I just don't see enough with Emory Jones throwing two picks in this game. Once again, turning the ball over, not looking efficient. I don't see enough out of Florida right now to make me think that Bryce Young ain't about to go in there and just drop a 50 piece on him.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to be worried defensively, obviously, with Florida struggling defensively, I think. But from an offensive perspective, I don't know. It looked like to me Anthony Richardson was the better of the two. I don't know how serious that hammy injury is, but – man, when he takes off, it's a different kind of takeoff. He's running to get somewhere. And man, I think without him, it's gonna like be a little bit rough. Emory Jones through 2 weeks is having a rough go. I think it's 4 picks through 2 weeks. So I mean, he's having a rough go right now. So I don't know if UF's gonna get it done against Bama next week, bro.
No, I think with Florida, you know, they did rush for 363 yards in that game. So they ended up having 600 something yards of offense in a game, but let's call it what it is. Okay. Mississippi State, the last team we're going to talk about, Mississippi State beats NC State 24-10, right? After only beating Louisiana Tech by one at home the week before. That same South Florida team that Florida just took care of 42-20, NC State beat them Jokers 45-0 in the first week. So if you're doing some score comparisons, not a very impressive win by the Florida Gators there in terms of, you know, just not really fully being able to just go start to finish. Because in that second half, South Florida outscores Florida 17-7 in the second half. So, you want to finish that game better if you're the University of Florida, for sure. But to end things off, we're going to apologize to Mr. Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator at Mississippi State. Mississippi State gets a big win. Them cowbells were rocking there over there in Starkville with, being able to take down who I believe is a good, very good NC State team. They had Devin Leary coming back at quarterback. I thought with his mobility and Mississippi State's inability to stop people, not only last year, but, La Tech putting up 34 in the first game. I was worried, man. I was worried for the other set of Bulldogs here in the SEC, the Mississippi State Bulldogs. But Zach Arnett, that defense over there, Mike Leach actually can win a game that, he won a game only scoring 24 points. I mean, that's not something that he's done a lot of. So
he probably pulling his hair out.
Oh, yeah, him, he probably called Hal Mummy, his guy that started that, all that air raid stuff back in the day when they were working at Kentucky together with Tim Couch, and like, man, I ain't ever won like this. This is crazy. But, Mike Leach able to win a low scoring contest over there. What does it say about them being able to, much like Vanderbilt, except on a whole different level, being able to come back from, even though they won week one, a embarrassing kind of performance to, being able to kind of take it to a good team at home?
Yeah, I mean, I think it says a lot. I think it says a lot that they were able to hold NC State's offense. Zach Arnett, hats off to him for getting those guys ready, because it's hard, bro. It's hard when everybody's talking about you, talking about everybody hanging hella yards and points on you. You can't stop nobody. You hear that, you know that, but sometimes you got to ignore the noise, and Zach Arnett and that defense did that this weekend, and they came out victorious. And Mike, Coach Leach, man, it's funny. It's 24 points isn't a lot for them. So like I said, he's probably pulling his hair out, but I know he's glad they got that up.
No doubt. And I think they've got a good player there in Will Rogers at their quarterback position. However, uncharacteristic. I mean, they win that game with only 316 yards of total offense. In that game, you're talking about NC State, has more total yards than Mississippi State. They had more passing yards. They had more rushing yards. In fact, NC State only rushed for 32 yards on the day, but Mississippi State only rushed for 22. So, they're slinging that rock. They ain't trying to run it over there with Leach for sure. But, that defense
it's an air raid for sure.
Yeah, and that defense holding NC State to 32 yards rushing, just a big deal over there. They did win the time of possession battle. So, Davis Wade Stadium in there in Starkville, that home atmosphere, getting it done for the Mississippi State Bulldogs once again. But guys, that's our kind of our reaction Monday in terms of going through the games and everything. TK, Alabama, plays a cupcake in Mercer. There was a lot of other, cupcake games. But now next week, SEC schedule hits. So after week two, are there any teams that you just feel differently about than maybe you did in after week one? Anybody that has kind of lost their stock has gone down, or maybe their stock has gone up after
man, this week? Let me check my list here, man. Kentucky's still balling. You know whose stock went up? Arkansas stock went up, bro. They were impressive, bro. They were really impressive. If they can continue to do that, man, they might just make some noise, and in that game in Athens might just be a really fun night.
No doubt. And I think Arkansas, honestly, after seeing the Haynes King injury and seeing how A&M played on the road, I don't think you'd be hard pressed to say that Arkansas and Ole Miss are really the two teams that scare Alabama the most right now. And in terms of that, the West out there, I know Alabama's not scared of anybody, but in terms of the West, those two teams are the teams with mobile quarterbacks and defenses that seem to be highly improved from year one to year two under their head coaches that, can at least maybe compete and have a ball game. Cause LSU and Texas A&M don't look like those guys right now.
Can we even say that out loud? Alabama scared of Mississippi State and Arkansas. I don't know if
I said I said Ole Miss. I said Ole
Oh,
Miss.
Ole Lane Miss. Kiffin. Okay. Ole Miss, and still, can we say that out loud though?
Hey, they took him to the brink last year. Took him to the brink last year.
We might want to whisper that one.
Yeah, I'm like I said, it's I don't know if anybody's going to come close in the West, but now it looks to me like, you know, how we're saying Kentucky's the biggest threat to Georgia in the East. I think Arkansas and Ole Miss may be the biggest threat to Alabama in the West just because of how they're playing.
Okay, that's fair. Fair.
Yeah, so that's our stock up and stock down report here. TK saying that, you know, I think Texas A&M went down a notch in my eyes. Kentucky and Arkansas are both, you know, still right there in a just upward trajectory. That both those programs looking great. Vandy's still trying to get back into the SEC even after a win in our mind. But here on the Second to None podcast, which is presented by Bet Online and PlayActionPools.com. For TK, I'm Blaine Gilmer, and thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to go ahead and hit that like button on the YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, turn on notifications for 365 Sports. Also, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen. And we will catch you on Wednesday for a What's the Spread Wednesday for Week 3 SEC opening action on the Second to None podcast.